Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It has been a wild NCAA tournament so far, and more action to come this weekend. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Pat Bradley from the SEC Network. Pat, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking time to join us.
No problem. How you guys doing? You got some hot coffee there? You guys go with the cold brew.
Oh, are you going hot or cold, Joe?
I'm straight cold, man. Straight cold.
Okay,
man.
Really? Right, there okay. We go.
I'm Dunkin' Donuts ice cold coffee.
Nice. That's a bold strategy. I like that.
I go hot, but as long as it's caffeinated, I'm good. You know, it'll work out, right?
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Pat, what have you thought of this tournament so far with just the amount of upsets that we've seen? Oral Roberts, a 15 seed now in the Sweet 16, Loyola Chicago making some noise as well. Just from a viewing perspective, where do you think this tournament ranks in terms of the entertainment value through the first weekend?
Well, I think to that point, it's the greatest and most exciting ever, right? Probably because we didn't have one last year. And it's been such a strange season. We didn't know if we were going to have one. And we got a scare because there was one game that had to be no contested and with VCU. So from that respect, it will be it'll be up there with the most memorable. Maybe the most memorable. You know, it's hard to beat like Larry Bird, Michigan State, and all those. But first of all, that just sets it apart as being unique. I will say this. Yes, there are a lot of high seeds, and I've seen all the numbers. You add up all the seeds. It's like it amounts to the highest number since, like 85 or whatever. Here's the reality, though. When you're dealing with a UCLA team who comes from a power conference at an 11 seed, you're dealing with Syracuse, an 11 seed. Oregon State, power conference, 12 seed. So I look, and I don't, you know, Loyola Chicago, you watch them, that is a heck of a team, man. I mean, they were in the Final Four a couple of years ago, so you know it's not really like, yeah, I had Illinois going to the Final Four out of that bracket, so yes, it was an upset. Although you look at it and you're like, huh, I can see how, though, they can win that game. So Oral Roberts is really the, if you were, say, Cinderella. Because the rest of them, guys, are really Cinderellas in a sense. And their power team, even, you know, Creighton's a power six. You know, we do power six in basketball because of the Big East. So, yeah, I mean, I know I love, I don't want to like, because I dream big, fellas. I dream big and I love it. The underdog. But at the end of the day, it's we're probably going to have a one seed, a two seed, a one or a three seed, and then a two seed in the Final Four. Potentially, if Loyola Chicago, though, I think they can beat Houston. They can beat anybody, really, out of the Midwest. So, yeah, it's a wild and crazy year. The upsets seem to be expected outside of that Oral Roberts game. Both of them, actually.
Well, let's go to that, Pat, and you know, to your alma mater. First of all, how much excitement is there in the Arkansas fan base for this team getting back to this level after such a long time, you know, for where things are going under Eric Musselman? And what do you think about this matchup? I mean, Oral Roberts has two players who, I have to say, I think they can play on any team in this tournament from what I've seen of those two guys.
And you, that the point guard they have, Max Asemus. It's taken me a couple of weeks to figure out how to say his name.
We were just botching it.
It's taken all of us that long, too. Don't feel bad.
Well, I know, I mean, the B sounds like an S, and then I had somebody say, didn't even say the B or the S. They call Amos. So Max, to me, he's played so well. He's like a first name guy now, right?
It's just Max, yeah.
LeBron, you know what I mean? Larry, Magic, Mac. So, yeah, you're right. When you look at the rest of the teams in this tournament, you could take him at point guard against really all of them. I mean, straight point guard, right? Like Jalen Suggs, Gonzaga, I get you. Baylor has those trio of guards who are all good. But this kid, Max Asemuth, man, what makes him really difficult is he's really fast. He's quick. He's got great change of speed, change of direction. So usually slow guys like me have to utilize change of speed, change of direction. But when you've got a lightning bolt who understands that, it's devastating. I mean, it's just brutal. And then you add in he can shoot it from range. You know, he's the Damian Lillard, Steph Curry, Trae Young. But what I think helped him now is he's distributing the ball a little bit more to his teammates. And so that makes him now not just that big-time scorer. He's helping his other guys get shots. You know, unfortunately for Oral Roberts, they seem to be a two-man scoring machine. So if they can get help, because Arkansas can defend now, you know, they've got Eric Musselman has put together personnel to be able to defend the perimeter. He's got length. He's got quickness on the perimeter. And that was by design on really, you know, the kind of players that he wanted to get in his system to be able to run the game plan and the style that he wants to run.
Pat Bradley from the SEC Network on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Pat, the other SEC team left in this tournament, Alabama. What have you thought of the job that Nate Oates has done with this group, and what sort of a chance do you give Alabama to maybe make a run here to the Final Four or maybe beyond?
Well, I think with Nate Oates and Eric Musselman, both of those guys in their second years, their communication skills are off the charts because they've had to explain to the team, each player, here's your role, here's what I want. And Nate Oates, we know the style that he wants, and it's not just chunk up threes by any means, because Alabama is just as happy beating you, making 25 layups and 25 free throws, as they are making 25 threes. As a matter of fact, I think against Iona, they made 5, I believe it is. And then obviously in Maryland, they just go absolutely crazy from the three-point line. It just shows you their versatility. And that's what I hope people nationally take from this Alabama team, that they're a great defensive team, in that they can beat you, and they will most likely most of the time beat you from the three-point line, but they can get to the rim. They get out in transition. I mean, and they're bigger than you think. Like, UCLA has some real length. Outside of their point guard, guys, they got 4 guards that go from 6'5" to 6", like shooters too. So, but the thing, Alabama, do you know Alabama can go John Petty 6'5", Josh Primo 6'6", Herb Jones 6'8", Alex Reed 6'9", and then Jordan Bruner 6'10". And guess what? All those 5 guys shoot 30% all the way up to like 48% from the 3-point line. And those 3 perimeter defenders, come on now. Like Herb Jones, I forget when I watch, he's 6'8". Like because he plays so fluidly, you think he's like 6'4", 6'5". But fellas, 6'8". The tallest guy UCLA has is 6'9", the tallest player. It just gives you an idea of, like, Herb Jones. And if you haven't played against him before, don't realize his size and length. Man, I just think, you know, this is why the tournament is so difficult, because you're playing against teams and players. You may be watching on film or TV, but, you know, when you get up against it, it's a different animal.
Yeah, no doubt. Herb Jones is just – he's just so fun to watch both ends. Pat, I will say I would love to see an Elite Eight matchup with Alabama-Michigan, because Hunter Dickinson, that is the kind of size that could be a problem for Alabama. But what a contrast of styles that would be. So speaking of that, which would, of course, be a Big Ten SEC showdown, we saw that. LSU gave Michigan a run. We've seen the Pac-12 just go nuts in this thing. Big Ten really disappoint other than Michigan. Do you draw conference conclusions? I know fans like to do this based on tournament results.
I can't. Like, I understand it's fun. My conference, your conference, we play in the SEC Big 12 showdown, and I love rubbing it in all the Big 12 suckers' faces every chance I get. We were 6-4. You guys stink, right? You suck. But I look at it individually, and like everybody saw Illinois play leading up to the end of the season. I mean, they looked like they could win a national championship. And then you watch the game with Loyola Chicago, and Loyola played quite possibly, like, I don't think anyone's played a perfect basketball game. They look pretty darn close. And so, and then Ohio State, you look at that game, do you realize Oral Roberts has been the recipient? And I'm going to say has been the recipient because I don't think they forced all those turnovers. 36 turnovers in two games between Ohio State and Florida. That's not a win of basketball. So, and then Ohio State picks the wrong day to miss shots. And then, again, going back to the unfamiliarity, that's a tough word to say early in the morning, with your opponent, I don't know if they knew what Max A. Smith could do. You know, O'Banner, big O'Banner, what he could do, his versatility. So you add all those things in, and, yeah, it's, I don't think it's the conference per se. It's just the nature of how difficult tournament basketball is in general. If you're not playing your best, like all these teams are good teams. Like they're all won their league. Think about this. I know you guys probably don't follow like it as closely, but Arkansas, just because, you know, for obvious reasons, they were getting criticized because of their non-conference schedule. They were 8-0 in the non-conference, right? And they were getting criticized because it was a cream puff schedule. But you know who they had to beat in the non-conference? Nobody knew it. Abilene Christian, who just beat Texas. They played Oral Roberts, obviously, who's in the Sweet 16. And then they of course, now that I'm talking about it, I forget off the top of my head, another team in the tournament who made it, one of a Cinderella team who knocked a team off. So you just don't know on any given day, but my point is all these 68 teams, or even the first four teams, these are good, they all win their league. So, you know, it's tough to really say that the league, I don't really want to hammer the Big Ten or now we lift up the Pac-12. I think it's just, you know, when you get to the tournament, it's one-on-one, every team for themselves, baby.
That's right. Pat Bradley from the SEC Network has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Pat, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, man, and looking forward to some more great college basketball action coming up this weekend.
All right. You know, that's really grinding my gears. I can't remember that third team. I'm going to call back.
Okay.
Somebody when I remember.
That sounds good.
My brain is definitely shot right now.
That's okay.
All right. You boys be good.
You as well. Pat Bradley from the SEC Network has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.